Good morning, everyone. My name is Matt. I'm the associate pastor here at the church. Students, I know there's some students in the crowd. I hope you make the popcorn well. I was thinking about this when Clint was talking about that. I don't know in the spectrum, in this world, if there's anything totally opposite as like good popcorn, normal popcorn that smells really good versus burnt popcorn that smells really bad. Like, I don't know if there are too many things that are that different. I have announced for this morning as well. Coming up in a couple Tuesdays, it's Tuesday, April 23rd, we are starting a six-week class called Overview of the New Testament. And in this class, it's basically what it says. You overview the Old Testament. But what that does is we break down every book of the Bible, give you an overview that helps you understand more when you read your Bible. And so if it's something you're interested in, you can sign up at the Welcome Center or on the church's website. But again, that is going to be an overview of the Old Testament. It starts in a couple Tuesdays on April 23rd. All right, well, to begin today's message, I want to ask a question. Has anyone ever doubted something in their life? Yeah, probably most of us. Anyone ever doubted something that they were really close to, or you kind of knew the outcome, but you doubted it anyway? Yeah, some of us. Well, that was similar for me recently, and it really pains me to talk about what I've doubted lately. But I've doubted this basketball season. I doubted if Purdue could make it to the Final Four. And if you know me, I love Purdue. If you don't know me, I love Purdue. There's Jesus, there's my family, and then there's essentially Purdue underneath that. And I'm not really being that facetious. Purdue's pretty high on my list. Well, this year in basketball, they had a really, really good season. They were actually, their overall record was 34-5, really good team. And they actually had the best player in college basketball too. Is Zach Edey. He's 7'4", which is probably about that exact height. He's 7'4", really good player. So they were a really good team. But yet when they got to the tournament to see if they were going to win the championship, I doubted them. Each game came along and I had my questions whether they were going to win the game or not. And it seems silly because they were really good and they had a really good player. They had multiple good players. But some of the stuff that happened in their past, last year they were the number one seed and they got beat by a 16 seed, which isn't very good. And even before that, they've been beat by teams in the tournament that they probably shouldn't have been beat by. So it created this doubt in me. I doubted whether Purdue could win or not. And so you probably have doubted something like that in your life. And you're not alone. You're not alone in your doubt. Us humans, we doubt that. But then even going back 2,000 years ago, the disciples, they doubted. They actually doubted Jesus himself, even in moments where they had proof in front of them. They still doubted. Here's just one example. This is Peter. When Jesus walked on water, right? It's a famous story from the Bible. Jesus walks on water, but he actually called Peter out of the boat, and Peter was able to walk on water as well. He took a few steps, and he walked on water, and then he started to doubt, and then he basically sank, and Jesus had to reach down and pick him up and save him out of the water. Here's the reaction from Matthew chapter 14. This is Jesus talking to Peter. He says, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So here's Peter, literally doing one of the most famous miracles in the history of the world, right? Walking on water, he's really doing that. And in the midst of doing the miracle, he doubts. He doubts. And so doubt is common, but doubt is not healthy. It's not healthy for us. It can create some anxiety or stress that we don't need. When I doubted Purdue during those tournaments, they played six games in the tournament, and each game I had a pretty high stress level. Those of you, I know we had the men's watch party. I get pretty stressed out when I was watching Purdue. That's because of that doubt. It was unneeded stress. Doubt can sap your joy. So in the five games that Purdue won in the tourney, for me, it felt almost more like relief than actual joy because of the doubt. And doubt can cause chaos in our lives. Here's an example from the book of James, chapter 1. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because here's what happens when you doubt. It says, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so I picture a stormy sea that where these big waves that are all caused by the wind, and it's just, it feels very chaotic. And that's what can happen in our lives when we doubt. And Jesus doesn't want us to doubt as well. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what is done to the fig tree, which he had cursed the fig tree and basically like killed the fig tree. So he's saying, if you don't doubt, you can do that. You can do those miracles like that. But also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. And so Jesus is saying, don't doubt. Don't doubt. It's not good for you. Good things can't really happen when you doubt. And so in Jesus' life, he dies on the cross, and 3 days later, he's resurrected from death, and then he spends some time on earth before he ascends to heaven, and during that time, he visits different people, and during this time, he visited the disciples, and his reason for visiting the disciples was to erase the doubt from them. And so hold that thought. We're in a message series called Unfinished Business. And in this series, we are looking at those post-resurrection encounters that Jesus has with different people. And last week, Clint kicked off the series with the first encounter. It was Jesus' first post-resurrection encounter where he met with several women. And if you haven't seen or heard that message, I'd encourage you to get on our website and you can watch that. But today we're going to look at the next encounter where he encounters the disciples. And in that encounter, he eliminates their doubt. And I think we can use a few things from this encounter in our lives today on eliminating and what do we do instead of doubting. And so we're going to look at a scripture in John chapter 20. You can turn there in your Bible if you want, John chapter 20. And in this scripture, again, Jesus came to the women, and he said, hey, as he's leaving them, he says, go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. And so then the women go to Galilee, and then they say, okay, Jesus wants to meet you here. And so then the disciples come, and this is the meeting that happens there. So this is John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood by them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, this is verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other's disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And in the side, right before Jesus was thrown down on the cross, they jabbed him in the side to basically prove that he was dead. So there was a hole in his side. That's what Thomas is referring to. says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And so the title of today's message is The Doubting Encounter. I think there's a few points that we can learn from this encounter, from the interaction between Jesus and the disciples, that we can use in our lives today to help us eliminate our doubt. Let me pray, and then I'll dig into our points. So God, we come to you this morning. We come to you this morning acknowledging, God, that we have doubts, whether it's doubts about you or doubts about other things in our lives, God. And so we trust this morning, God, that you want to attack that doubt, that you want to teach us and what we need to do instead of doubt. So I just ask, God, this morning that the words I speak are not mine, but they're your words. We invite the Holy Spirit in to teach this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point, you can write this on your handout if you wish. Jesus replaces our doubt with belief. With belief. And I know it may sound goofy, because if you don't doubt, you believe. They're kind of opposites. But he replaces our doubt with belief. In the first encounter that he has with the women, right, Jesus says, "Go meet, tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee," and they don't believe him. In John chapter 24, it says, "But they did not believe the women." The disciples don't believe him. They need the proof themselves. And even as they get there and they worship Jesus, he's standing right in front of them, and it still says, Scripture says, still some doubted. Some did not believe. And then the encounter that happens, right? Jesus meets them in Galilee, and then verse 20, it says, "After this, he," Jesus, "showed them his hands and his side." Shows them, "Here are my hands. Look, the holes are there. It's me." And Thomas wasn't there, right? And so then he meets him and he says, "Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that they're going to be there unless I really see it myself and I can put my finger in the holes in his hands and I can put it in the holes. Unless I really see that, I don't believe it." And so Jesus knows this. So a week later, right, it says this, "Then Thomas said, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side.'" And he says, "Stop doubting and believe. Here I am. Stop doubting. Look, I'm here. Believe. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas believes. Look at his reaction. Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." He's saying, "Oh, I got the proof that I needed. It is you, Jesus." And so Thomas, he stopped doubting and he believed, just like the disciples. The thing with the disciples and with Thomas is they had the physical proof right in front of them, right? They had the physical proof. Jesus had a physical presence. His physical presence was there as unfinished business. He had to return to give them proof. But what about us? I can speak for myself. I can probably speak for you as well. But I've never had a physical encounter with Jesus. Anyone had a physical encounter with Jesus, the person? No. If it is, you'd be world famous, because nobody has since this time. We don't have that physical presence for our proof. But Jesus knew this. He knew this. And so what did he give us? He gave us faith. He gave us faith. At the very end of our scripture, he says this. He says, "Then Jesus told him," he's telling Thomas, "because you have seen me, you have believed." That's the easy part. But what about this? "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. We will be blessed when we believe, because we have not seen Jesus. But we will be blessed. And it all has to do with faith. With faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, a lot of times it's referred to as the faith chapter. But in verse 1 of that chapter, it gives us a definition of faith. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so Jesus, the physical presence, we can't see him, but we need to hope for him. When we have faith, we hope for that. When we have faith, we hope and we believe that everything in this book is true. That's what faith is. And that's what Jesus gave us. In Hebrews, again, 11 chapter, or verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so it's by faith we need to believe that the things that happened to Jesus happened, that the things in this book, they happened. We have to believe that, even though we can't see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. And so it's as humans, right? We live by faith. We really do. It's just about, is our faith in Jesus or is it in something else, right? Humans, we believe in aliens, right? There's a whole city in New Mexico that prides itself on alien encounters. I've never seen it, but we believe that. The Loch Ness Monster, we believe in that because we saw a grainy photo. There's even some humans that believe in ghosts. Can't see ghosts, but we believe in those. But even for me, there are some more substantial things. We actually, at the retreat this past weekend, somebody was talking about things. We talked about the platypus, right? Larry's saying, oh, I like the platypus. And I have never seen a platypus in my life, but I know they're there. I asked them, they're in Australia, I think, is where they live, right? I've never seen one, but I believe the platypus is there. Another, when we were in Costa Rica, if you don't know me, I have a pretty big fear of snakes. And the first night we were in Costa Rica, they get on there and they said, okay, just be cautious where we were. We're down in this jungle area in the church. And he said, there are lots of snakes and they're dangerous. They're poisonous. So just be on the lookout, be careful for snakes. The good news is throughout that entire week, I did not see one snake. I did not see one snake. But believe me, I believed that they were there. I knew those snakes were there, but I didn't see them. I didn't have to see them to believe that they were there. And the same thing is true with Jesus. I don't have to see a physical presence of Jesus to believe that what was said in this script, in this Bible, is true. It's because of faith. And I'll tell you this about faith. Faith is a decision that we make. Nobody else makes that decision except for us. And so I made that decision, and I've used this analogy before, but at a certain point in my life, I just drew a line in the sand. I drew a line in the sand and said, I'm not crossing this line. This line is faith, and it is belief that what it says in this Bible is true. And there are some things in this Bible that confuse me, that I don't understand, there's some things in this Bible that feel like weird. Like, read Revelation. Like, what? How many eyes did that thing have? Like, right? Like, there's things in this Bible that are just hard to believe. But I drew a line in the sand and I said, I am going to believe this book. And so that's the encouragement. Don't doubt. Draw the line in the sand and just say, I am going to believe that it happened. There's one thing in my life, I'm not sure. I don't know if I can talk somebody into Jesus. You know, we can be an evangelistic and I can try to defend Jesus. I don't know if I can, how good I am at talking somebody into knowing Jesus. But I'll tell you this, I'm 100% sure that nobody can talk me out of Jesus. And that is because I drew a line in the sand and I'm not going to cross it. I'm not going to cross it. And so that is point one. Jesus replaces our doubt with belief. It's by faith, by faith. The second thing is Jesus replaces our doubt with peace, with peace. It says in three different times in the scripture we read today, it says Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And then it says twice, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you, peace be with you." And so Jesus is bringing peace to an unstable situation. Remember what the disciples are going into. So they had just spent the last 3 years traveling with Jesus. They saw him brutally beaten and hung on a cross and died. And then he went to the tomb where a stone was there. And now he's standing in front of them. That seems like a chaotic, confusing situation. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Peace be with you." Because I think, I don't know for you, when I read the Bibles, you just kind of, sometimes you maybe flippantly read it and you think, but I can't imagine what these, like, whoa, what's going on? Hope, what, that's Jesus right in front of, like, I don't think it was just this really calm, like, "Oh, hey, Jesus, good to see you." It was probably a little bit chaotic. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm here. I told you this was going to happen. I'm in control. Peace be with you." He brings peace into that situation. And in our own lives, I think there's times where we could have catastrophic things that happen, and they can mess with us physically, but a lot of times mentally. And they mess with you to the point where you doubt the situation might be happening, even though you see this. So a couple examples for me, like when 9/11 happened. I know some of us in the room aren't really old enough to remember 9/11, but for me, that was a time where you're watching it on TV. I have this proof in front of me, but I got this state of like, is this really happening? Like that plane really hit the buildings and they fell? Like you kind of have these doubts going on, right? It's like, what's going on? Another time in my life, I lost my grandmother suddenly. When I was in high school, she died of a heart attack. So it was a sudden death in the family. And what that happened was, and I think we've probably all experienced death at some point in our life, but it creates this, it throws your routine off and you live in this, I'll say surreal state sometimes. We're like, wait a minute, is this really happening? Like, is my grandma, is she really gone? Like, I'm not going to get to see her. And, you know, things are just off. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's this surreal state. I think that's similar to what is happening with the disciples. But in those times, when we have that doubt, we have to remember Jesus and the peace that he brings. So we're going to have catastrophic, we're going to have chaotic times in our life. Jesus will bring the peace with him. Here's a couple verses. John chapter 14 says, "Peace." This is Jesus speaking. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." In chapter 16 of John, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." But the key there, right? It says, "In me you will have peace. In Jesus, you will have peace." Jesus brings peace to our situations. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you," or "be the Lord be with all of you." And so we need to bring Jesus in to have peace. When we have doubts, bring Jesus in. Go to Jesus. He will eliminate that doubt and bring you peace. I've thought about this in my life. When I've gone to Jesus, there has not been one time ever that Jesus has steered me in the wrong direction. Not one time. There's times where I steer myself in the wrong direction. There's times when I hear from the enemy and he'll steer me in the wrong direction. But not one time ever has Jesus steered me in the wrong direction, because it's impossible. And he won't steer you in the wrong direction ever either. And I don't know about for you, but that gives me peace. When I'm doubting things, if I go to Jesus, he will not steer me in the wrong direction. That's a peaceful feeling. You can write this down. When we replace our doubt with Jesus, we gain peace. We gain peace. And then the last point is this. Jesus replaces our doubt with a promise. With a promise. In John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, it says, "As with that, he breathed on them. He, Jesus, breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" And so in this moment, Jesus breathes on them and he gives them the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment to forgive sins. If I was doing some research on it, they don't think that that's, he gave them that singular power at that point. But then later on, this is Luke. This is the same encounter in the book of Luke. It says, "I'm going to send you," again, the words of Jesus, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised." And that's the Holy Spirit. "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." And what Jesus is referring to here is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. He's saying, my Father, you look back at Old Testament and even some of the New Testament, God promised the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, stay here, the Holy Spirit is coming. And it's powerful. And so the power of this Holy Spirit, the significance of it in this context is it came after the disciples stopped doubting. Jesus came and said, "Here I am, see my hands. Do you believe me now?" And they said, "Yes, yeah, we believe you." And then he said, "Now receive my power." It didn't happen the other way. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit, and then they stopped doubting. Stop doubting came first, and then they received the power. And so I don't know what you're doubting in your life today. Maybe you're doubting whether you can get out of an addiction. Maybe you're doubting whether you're qualified for a certain job. Maybe you're doubting whether you're good enough. I'm telling you, once you stop that doubting, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the power that Jesus has. So instead of looking at that doubt and being fearful with your doubt, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. He will give you peace in that, and he will give you power in that. This is the last thing you can write down. Jesus' promise, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus' promise is powerful. It's powerful.